Good evening. I'd like to call the Planning Commission meeting of Tuesday, June 21st, 2016 to order. Could you please get a roll call?
Commissioner Keen?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
And Chair George?
Here. And if you could please stand and follow Commissioner Martin for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll move to agenda review. Do the commissioners wish to revise the agenda?
It appears that we have a memorandum to continue.
That's correct.
So we'll wait till we get to that item to motion for a continuance. And we'll open the meeting up to public comment. Does anyone in the audience wish to speak on any items not on tonight's agenda? Good evening.
Good evening. Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I want to thank you guys for the hard decision you made at the last Planning Commission to vote in favor of medical marijuana. That did pass our council, and I just wanted to let you know that 55 to 70 people in our city had reached out for help in that with that medicine. So I really appreciate it. And Devin Ward, the gentleman who has ALS, thanks you also for that decision.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak tonight? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close the public comments and bring it back to written communications. Looks like we received quite a few memos tonight. Do you want me to list them or?
You should have three.
Yes.
And you should probably read them out so okay. Folks know you have them.
So we have a memo recommending that item 8B be continued to July 5th. So we'll move on that when we get to that item. And then we have a memo, which is just a letter from a resident regarding item 8A. And we just have a quick memo for the meeting minutes from May 31st. Is that correct? Okay. So we'll move on to the consent agenda, approval of minutes. We have three sets of minutes to approve tonight, May 17th, May 31st, and June 7th. Do any of the commissioners wish to make any comments or revisions? I have none as well. So I move that we approve all minutes as presented, including the draft, the memo that was added to the May 31st minutes.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No? The motion passes 5-0. And we'll move on to public hearings tonight. The first one is the consideration of appeal to Planning Commission 16-003, plot plan review 15-013, the demolition of an existing residence and construction of two new two-story duplexes. The location is 159 Briscoe Road. The applicant is Joyce Baker, represented by Michael Dammeyer, and the appellant is Laurel Worthington. Could we please get a staff report?
Yes, good evening, commissioners.
Good evening.
So, this is the appeal of plot plan review 15-013, the demolition of the existing home at 159 Briscoe and construction of two new duplexes. So the property is zoned multifamily. You see the location here, located on the corner of Briscoe and Linda Drive. Surrounding to the southwest and east are residential uses, mostly other high-density apartment structures, and Ocean View Elementary School is just up there to the north. So the proposed project, after the demolition of the existing single-family home on the property, would be two-story duplexes. The lot is 12,447 square feet, duplex 1 being 2,904 square feet, and duplex 2 being 2,491. This putting them at a floor area ratio of 0.433, which is under the maximum of 0.45 in the area. Duplex 1 will have a three-bedroom unit and a single-bedroom unit, duplex 2 having a two-bedroom unit and a single-bedroom unit. Here's a site plan of the project you see here, located on the corner lot, Briscoe Drive to the right, and Linda Drive at the bottom of the image. So the property is zoned multifamily apartments. The primary purpose of this district is to provide a broadened range of housing types for those not desiring detached dwellings on individual parcels, and with open space and recreational amenities not generally associated with typical suburban subdivisions. So the homes, as you've seen, are to be built in a very modern style, being two stories, having the very varied facades, flat roofs on the structures, metal siding. There is patio space between the units. They would have a very unique character for the area. Most of the structures surrounding tend to be more old-school craftsman-style structures, so these would be a unique development on that corner lot. You see the elevations here. As you can see, the flat roofs, the metal sidings going around the structures. You see the varied facades with the balconies coming out, just providing these two units here on this property. They will be accessed from Linda and Briscoe. The properties have six combined garage spaces between them, three in each. This is the amount of parking required under the municipal code. Additionally, developments of four units or less do not require additional guest parking. Some of the issues brought up in the appeal, one of the main ones being the height and views. These will be placed on a currently underdeveloped lot. There is a 20-unit development right next door. These structures will impact views from that property. It is located on a hilltop. A lot of these units have nice ocean views from those properties, and development of this property will necessarily impact some of those views. The applicant has worked with the neighbors multiple times to attempt to mitigate this impact as much as possible. They have proceeded to lower the structures from original submission. They've widened the space between the structures to hopefully maximize view angles. And they've modified some of the balconies on the properties to try and maintain as many views as possible. That being said, any sort of development on this property will have that impact on neighboring properties. Additionally, the other issue that has been brought up is the removal of an oak tree on the property. The reason this oak tree is being removed, there are three oak trees on the property. The applicant has proposed to remove one of them. The reason or the request that they're making to remove the property or the tree, the justification being, the requested action is necessary to allow construction of improvements or otherwise allow economic or other reasonable enjoyment of the property. As you can see here, it's kind of hard to see up on the screen, but the existing oak tree is roughly right in this location, right in the middle of duplex 2 right here. It is a very centrally located tree, and it would make maximum development of that property, building up to the density prescribed in the municipal code, very difficult, allowing that tree to remain. Additionally, they are proposing placing two more oak trees to mitigate the impact, as well as other native shrubbery. So this project went in front of the Architectural Review Committee twice, the first time being on December 5th, 2015. At that time, the project was continued to an unspecified date to allow the applicant to work with community members who had attended the meeting and commented on the project. They submitted revised designs and were at the February 1st meeting. These revisions included lowering the structure heights, shifting their locations. They modified the second story to a degree, and softened some of the more modern hard lines on the corners, as well as some of the landscaping modifications, including restricting any plants being placed along the border with the neighboring property, restricting them in height so that they would not outgrow the structures and impact views further than necessary. At that time, the project was recommended for approval by the ARC on a 5-0 voice vote. The applicant elected to continue revising designs and continued working with the neighboring properties until they submitted a final revision on May 6th. We decided that the plans submitted were in substantial conformance with the plans reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee, so we elected not to take it back to ARC at that time. But that is what you are seeing today, are those revised designs. The main changes at that time being made were some balcony changes, trying to shift them out of view angles as much as possible. The project, due to it being under four units, or four units or under, is not requiring to go through any sort of CEQA review. They are exempt. Additionally, public notice of this hearing was published to 300 feet within the site on June 10th, and these agendas were posted online at June 17th. That no further comments has been received. Point is inaccurate. We did receive an email that you guys saw in that memo about an hour ago, stating from the vice president of the HOA at 170 Briscoe, speaking in support of the project, but would like to comment that they want to see no further street parking removed, as street parking is already tight in the area. So it is staff's opinion to recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution denying Appeal 16003 and approving Plot Plan Review 15013, and are happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions for staff? Commissioner Mack?
Yeah, under parking and off-street parking requirements by land use, if you go to our development code 16.56.060, you're using 1E. How do we look at section 1B that specifically talks about duplexes?
Yeah, we'll have to look at exactly the statement of the municipal code in that portion.
While they're looking that up, do you want to move on to other
questions? I'm going to have another question, too. Within our tree ordinance, it's typically, I see a replacement of 3-1. And it looks like the Architecture Review Commission made a recommendation to do two oaks and another native species, and that's satisfactory then with our development code?
Yeah, that is correct. That has been looked at by Jeff English and has reviewed that to be acceptable. They were worried because the lot is not particularly large. They didn't want the over-densification of a certain species and that leading to possible health concerns. And so they elected to recommend only two placements of oak trees and other native species instead.
And then, does the city of Rio Grande adopt language for the developer or the contractor, whoever, the landowner, to maintain those replacement trees over a certain period of time? And is there a mechanism to ensure that those don't get damaged or die over a year, or 2 years, or 3 years?
Commissioner Mack, there's nothing in the municipal code that would require that. However, if the Planning Commission would like to add a condition of approval that, similar to a project down the road on Briscoe, we had talked about that and having a qualified arborist do an annual kind of maintenance and reporting, we could add that as a condition of approval for this project.
That concludes my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Mack. Vice Chair Keane?
No.
Commissioner Martin?
No.
Commissioner Fowler-Payne?
Yes. On the unit that's adjacent to Briscoe Drive, do they have room to turn around there and pull out, or are they backing out on Briscoe Road?
I would let the applicant speak to that for that portion.
The other thing is, are these four units going to be held in title by one owner, or is this condos where they're going to be divided?
I believe these are intended to be sold as individual units, yes.
That's all I had at this point.
Thank you. The duplex that has the entrance on Linda Drive, will there be, will we need to mark off the sidewalk at all to prohibit parking near the entrance or not?
There's no plan for red curbing right now in the project. I would imagine that we'd let the project go through, build it, and see what happened. Right now, they are providing for the site triangle as required per the Muni Code and engineering standards. Depending on usage and that, we'd evaluate that at a later time if any parking needed to be removed to facilitate that.
And I'm just trying to clarify wording. So it says existing oak tree to be removed per arborist report. So was there an arborist report that recommended removal of the tree, or is this pending an arborist report?
So in regards to the arborist reports, originally the applicant, before they submitted entitlements to this, they were attempting to remove the tree due to them believing it to be unhealthy. They had arborist reports prepared that did identify health concerns. However, the city arborist prepared his own report, and they decided to find it healthy. That project, or that attempt to remove, was appealed and was again denied. So we are not currently removing it based on health concerns, which is what the arborist reports discussed. We are electing to remove it due to impacts with development instead.
So once it's approved, then we don't have to wait for an arborist report, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Those are my questions. Thank you. So at this point, we'll have...
Any questions?
Oh.
I don't think my question ever got answered yet.
No? Oh, I'm sorry. We're waiting.
So I can add a few clarificating points. The project itself right now is proposed to be for rent units. That was an inaccurate statement that they were going to be for sale. Obviously, if we were going to sell these off individually, we'd have to do some kind of subdivision map, parcel map, something like that. And that kind of goes back to Commissioner Mack's question about the parking, because I think you quoted subsection B, which is in regard to duplexes, that does fall under the single family residential unit category, whereas down below, once you get into the subsection E, apartments and multifamily dwellings for the resident parking, that's all covered under that section. So being that one property owner is going to own the whole thing, that's why we look at that multifamily housing section rather than the individual duplex section.
So under that subsection 1B, if that assumes home ownership for each unit, assuming four different units, two different duplexes, be four families, the parking ratio isn't there. Doesn't it require 0.5 guest stalls per unit, which would be, or is it one full? I can't remember.
If they were individually owned units, it would be two spaces within an enclosed garage and one uncovered space per unit. Yes.
Thank you.
That's your question? Okay. So since this was an appeal, we'll ask the appellant to come speak. Laurel Worthington. Are you Laurel Worthington?
No, but can I speak?
Okay, are you Laurel?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, that's perfectly acceptable.
I'm Kent Owney. I have one of the units there that'll be entirely blocked of you. Just happened the way it's all set up. I'm on the L unit. When you talked about the multifamily dwelling area, that's very, very correct, because you see that area there, and it's extremely congested. If you get an overview of that area, I was almost late getting here because of the congestion getting onto the street. To add four more units is going to definitely make an impact. Plus, you have a school there. You're going to have kids there. You're going to have parents picking them up. I don't know if there's been any traffic study on any of this, but it's a concern of mine that concession on the oak tree, which I don't really have a dog in that fight, but now they're going to put in trees to replace it at 25 foot or greater. Who's going to maintain those? Any little remaining view I have left will be blocked by the 25 foot trees, because I have the low level unit. Just the quality of life. I don't know. That's kind of what the commission is for, I think, and to bring this in is going to seriously impact all of our quality of life that live there. Now, I know maybe it'll generate some funds for the city, but looking at it from the standpoint of you're going to have additional sewer, traffic, everything that goes with it. But most of all, just look at the density of that area right now and consider that before you make that decision, that it's a big deal for us. That's it. Thank you.
Do the commissioners have any questions for the applicant's spokesperson?
Yeah, are those units held in individual ownerships, or are those rentals? You own those condos, huh? Okay.
Commissioner Martin, do you have any questions?
No.
No. Commissioner Mack?
No.
No? No? Okay. So at this point, I'll ask the applicant to come speak. Is the applicant here?
Evening, Honorable Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Michael Dammeyer of Stephen Puglisi Architects, representing Joyce Baker in this project. First of all, I'd like to thank staff for their due diligence on the project and guiding us through all these processes, and for Sam for clearly defining everything that went into the project to this date. Pretty much cleared up all my points, which is good for my mic time. The one question from Terry for the backup space, we do provide an elbow in that driveway, which all three cars coming out of the garage could use to back up there, then pull onto Briscoe. And I think that's the only questions to this point, unless there's any more you may have.
Did the commissions have any questions for the applicant? Okay, Commissioner Mack?
I first targeted the site plan. The way things laid out and had an illustrative landscape plan that looked really good with the trees, working with the units. My question to you is on sheet C1, right behind the duplex off Briscoe Drive, it looks like we're building a retaining wall within 5 feet of the trunk of the tree. The trees to be remained on tree number two.
Would that be the middle tree
in
the lot?
Yeah. Is that correct? Are we building a retaining wall 5 feet from the trunk of the tree?
That would be a retaining wall. I don't know the exact height of that wall, but you are allowed to impede on one-third of the oak structure, one-third of the entire canopy. You can build that wall, and that's one of the reasons why that unit didn't sink lower in the site. It would be for the impact of the roots of that tree with that retaining wall.
What's the purpose of that retaining wall? It doesn't seem like it's part of the unit. It seems like it's separate, like a site retaining wall?
It's a site retaining wall because we lowered that unit with working with the neighbors to try to get that building as low as possible, which created that retaining wall.
Any way to make it part of the building so it's further away from the oak tree?
That's something we could look at.
Make it integral with the building so there's less impact. It seems like the building itself is probably 10 feet away. The report says it's got a 12.5-foot canopy. I'm just thinking you're destroying the roots all the way up to that tree, and we'd really want it, if we're saving that tree, we got to give it a good chance to survive.
Yeah, relocating that retaining wall is something we'd be willing to look at.
My understanding is oak trees, the root structure is relatively shallow, like up to 6 inches below the surface of the soil. And that's one reason why arborists don't recommend irrigating underneath the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be my next question. We're not proposing any lawns or drip irrigation under the trees, are we?
No.
Okay. And then the trash enclosures. There wasn't too much detail on the trash enclosures. You have two of them, one with each duplex. Can you describe them a little bit and how they're being built or what they may look like?
Most likely they would be built out of block and maybe mudded or painted to match the buildings with a little roof structure over top, something that would match the architectural character.
And that was my point, as I know now we're required to put roofs over them.
Mm-hmm.
From State Water Quality Control Board, so that's just a detail that people don't expect, and that's something I'd really like Architectural Review Committee to look at. The driveway off of Linda Drive, is that a new driveway?
Yes, they're both new driveways.
And I guess my question here is there any issues there with the school traffic or anything like that with that driveway? And what is the width of that drive?
The width of the drive would be the minimum requirement I think it's dimensioned on there, the one you're talking about, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that dimension on there? I don't know off the top of my head.
It's not on the civil plan.
Should be on the architectural site plan.
The width of the driveway is 16 feet, as shown on the plans.
Says, 16 feet. Is there any opportunity to make it wider? One of my concerns is, and what we just heard is, we want to verify, number one, that they're being rented. Because if they're being rented, then you're absolutely correct on your parking ratio and your parking count. But if you're truly selling them, we need to have another guest stall per unit. And I can see that the driveways are really deep, and there is opportunity to park in front of the drive or the garage doors. But I can see the complication of the one stall garage, difficulty parking in there in front. It'd be kind of at an angle if a guest parked there, making it difficult for the two-car garage to be used. I'm just wondering if there's some way to maybe shift the driveway down or even make it wider to allow, parking in front of that garage door. Just a thought. Other than that, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair Keane, did you have any questions? Commissioner Martin?
No.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes. Did you guys do a view shed review on this before it was all designed to say what their maximum height could be?
Is that a question for the applicant? Okay, did you have any questions for the applicant?
Well, he may have to answer that. I don't know who is.
Okay. We'll start with the applicant.
To our knowledge, there's no view shed requirement in this area of Oreo Grande, but we have done extensive view shed studies working with the neighbors. I'm sure staff can answer a little better than I can.
Absolutely. So the view shed review requirements are not applied to the multifamily apartment zoning district. It's an area of the city where we expect kind of this intensified residential development. And as the applicant did say, that they did work rather extensively trying to reduce those visual impacts of the neighboring properties. But as staff already mentioned, basically anything you do there other than what's already existing is going to impact those views.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
appreciate
very much.
It. We'll open up to public comment. Kirby Gordon?
Madam Chairman, I have an exhibit I'd like to put on the screen. Is that possible?
Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chairman, members of the Commission, my name is Kirby Gordon, 760 Matty Road, Pismo Beach. I built Linda Vista in 1985. You'll see here it's built, they're condos, so this would be the bottom level. This would be the top level. When we built these, of course, there was the lot next door here that we tried to buy, but they didn't want to sell at that time. That's the lot that's in question now. What we did, as you can see from this, is we clustered the buildings away from this area because we knew it would be built on sometime. So we put five of the seven buildings back here on the hillside and only put two buildings here. So this is a total of 16 units on two levels here so that we could maximize the view. And we knew that these buildings here, which we put some smaller units on, would not have a view someday when this parcel at 159 Briscoe was built. The zoning's been the same since 1985. It's always been a multifamily zone, which is why we got 20 units on this. So while I sympathize with the neighbors about the views, I don't think it comes as any surprise that at some point this land was going to be developed into a multifamily project. Like I say, we tried to put it in with our project 31 years ago. So I would have to support the Bakers in their building of the four units. I think it's zoned for it. I think they've taken the time to meet with the neighbors. They've made changes. You're just not going to be able to protect everybody's views in every position from this property. I mean, we tried to do it as good a job as we could by putting these buildings as far back as we could to enhance the views, but there's bound to be some view blockage when you build in the multifamily zone. So while I sympathize with the neighbors, but I have to support the Bakers in their application on this project due to the historical nature of the project and the surrounding property. We also converted the one here to condos years ago also, so we're very familiar with this area on Briscoe. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on this item?
If anybody would like to leave that, I'd be happy to leave that, make it part of the record, whatever you'd like to do. If you want to make it part of the record, that's fine. Thank you.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande again. I can absolutely sympathize with the folks whose view is going to be taken. However, I've been in front of this board a few times now, in front of council meetings, and as badly as we need housing in this town, it's kind of nice to see one and two units being proposed, and I just hope that you use your best judgment. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on this item? No? Hearing none, I'll close the community comments and bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Mack, did you want to start with your comments?
I can see there's been a great deal of effort on the architect's part to respond at the architecture review meeting to comments and suggestions. Looks like the view shed issue has been taken seriously by the applicant. He's even has it on a site plan and elevations. And it's a struggle. There's a lot of issues that the architect had to use in developing the site. One is view shed, the other is the oak trees and the topography. And it's real difficult to weigh those and which one's more important. I can see if they move that first duplex further into the lot, it would give more opportunity to that first building off of Briscoe. But right now, I only see one at the inside unit of that first building of its view being obstructed. I don't have an issue with the architecture. I think doing the modern approach leaves more opportunity for those existing units behind. More view. The things I'm having difficulty with are placing a retaining wall 5 feet from the trunk of a tree.
We're kind of removing the most beautiful tree. So I'd really like to give those two trees the best opportunity of survival as being their little sister and brother. And then the second issue is whether these are going to be sold off in the future. If they're truly rental, then I'm fine with the parking. If they're going to be sold in individual homeowners, we need to work in some guest stalls, or we need to work in the language prohibiting these from being sold to individual units. I think something needs to be in the conditions of approval. But it seemed like the applicant was willing to work with the architecture a little bit more and the retaining walls. Sometimes the civil engineer doesn't follow suit with the architect, and I think a little bit more working together on that issue would give that tree the best opportunity of survival.
Thank you, Commissioner Mack. Vice Chair King?
There is a drive on Linda. There is an entrance going up there on Linda Drive now. They're just relocating it. I'm very concerned with view sheds. I bought a house over on Elm Street for the view in 1978, and I worry every day about somebody going to build across the street from me at second level and block that. But I've lived there since 78, and it hadn't happened, fortunately. So I understand views, and it really, I really am cognizant about people losing their view. Having said that, this property is zoned. We're not changing the zoning on it. We're not giving them any kind of conditions that they aren't entitled to. And as much as I hate to have anybody lose their view, I think that these people are entitled to what they proposed. As far as them being sold individually, when that happens, if that happens, these lots have to be divided, and then that's when the conditions for additional parking would go in. Is when the lots are divided so that they can sell them individually, my impression. So, reluctantly, I'm going to have to deny the appeal. I'm sorry.
Commissioner Martin?
My comments pretty much mirror the comments of Commissioner Keene. Certainly quality of life is something that we're all sensitive to and interested in the community. And given best efforts, I think, of both sides, certainly differences obviously continue to exist between the owners of the property adjacent to this parcel. But here again, I also come back to the fact that this has been zoned as a multifamily development for a number of years. Permanent view shed is not a guarantee, particularly in, I think, specifically in an area like this where multifamily housing is expected to be developed, and the city is in need of affordable, you know, housing for, you know, individuals or people that are looking for smaller kind of housing units. And I don't have a problem in putting in an additional condition prohibiting lot line adjustments or future lot line adjustments. My guess is that the parcel is probably not in its current configuration, one that is conducive to being lot split at some future time into four different units. But as a cautionary step, I'm certainly not against adding a condition, you know, prohibiting future lot line adjustments as a condition of approval on this. I mean, it'll kind of memorialize, you know, that it would run, I think, with that. And those are my comments. Thanks.
Mr. Fowler Payne?
Yes, I do have some. When the development Mr. Gordon did back in the 80s, was that just apartments or was that originally condo units?
Those were condos to begin with. We did rent them for...
Mr. Gordon, could you come up to the mic? Thank you.
Sorry,
respectful.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
But yes, we did build those to condo specs. We elected to rent them just due to the market conditions. Then we sold the whole project to a person who then held them for a few years and then sold them off individually. But they were always designed and built as condominiums.
Was there any kind of disclosure on their homeowners agreement, condos or whatever, with regards to the view shed corridor being obstructed at some point?
No.
So these people bought into that thinking they were had that view, and now it's going to be obstructed. I'm just saying that I'm very familiar with having to address the view shed corridor. When I built, I had to have my neighbors lay on the floor on their ground level to make sure that my roof did not encumber their view corridor. So I don't know whether we've become that much more lax on view corridors, but I just happen to know that this area gets one of the best views of the ocean and the coastline around. And I, you know.
Mr. Fowler Payne, did you have any other questions for Mr. Gordon?
No.
You may be seated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to have to support the appeal just based on the fact that the view shed. They could have still built on this lot. There's a single-story unit there that's not obstructing the view. They could have built three units across their single-story without having to go up so high doing a two-story and not obstruct the view corridor. So that's my comment.
Thank you. I have mixed feelings when I saw this project. Three of my children went through Ocean View Elementary School, and I have first-hand experience past 14 years with the traffic that happens or occurs there, especially in the morning and at 3 o'clock, where the road is completely blocked and no one can pass unless you go around to Grand. So for me, traffic in that corner is a huge concern, whether it's the one single unit that's there now, you know, or two duplexes. I don't know if that traffic will change. I think that that's something for the city to address, and I don't believe that's something that we should put on the applicant. I know near the end of the school year, the city put a big electronic metal sign. I don't know what those are called, but that said, if you can't double park, and that helped a little bit, but that's not there year-round. So unfortunately, because this project does meet all of its criteria, the city's criteria, and because it does fall within its zone, it's difficult for me to have any justification to deny it moving forward and support the appeal. That being said, I highly encourage the city to revisit the traffic in that corner and help the residents that live there, and possibly even the applicant, that the developer, to maybe put signs up to be cautious of the children during those school hours. So unfortunately, I will need to support the project and deny the appeal. So I'll take a motion.
Before we make a motion, can I ask a couple more questions?
Sure.
Of staff on the conditions of approval. Number six. We're not really removing trees. We're removing one tree, right? Want to maybe clean that up and just say tree? And then I had a question on 34, prior to issuance of building permit, posting of a $1,200 bond. Doesn't the city normally collect $1,200 for each drive approach? And if there's two drive approaches, would that be double?
So the erosion control bond is for landscaping to be installed. The applicant's also bonding for performance payment and guarantee as well. If you flip over to condition 35, so the applicant will be well bonded for the improvements proposed.
Yeah, and damage to the public right away, making sure that it gets put back together. Like if they started construction and it didn't finish the drive approach or something, and we had to come back and complete it ourselves.
So if the applicant starts to do some work and for some reason decides not to finish it, we have the ability to pull the bonds, fund the construction, and close out the project site. Additionally, when construction occurs, if damage occurs to the public right away, the applicant will fix it prior to closing out the project.
And that's sufficient?
It is, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll take a stab at this. Commissioner Mack, I don't have a condition concerning the retaining wall, so if you wish to have one in there, you might be adding your wording or preparing your wording to do that. But I move to adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande denying appeal case 16-003 and approving plot plan review 15-013, located at 159 Briscoe Road, applied for by Joyce Baker, appealed by Laurel Worthington, with the added condition prohibiting future lot line adjustments to allow for lot split and subsequent individual sale.
I'd also include the condition on that retaining wall and tree number 2 to be relocated with the footprint of the building. If you're allowing me to add that condition.
You're welcome to add that. That's fine by me. So with those two added conditions, that's my resolution.
I would second it.
We have a motion and a second. Can we please get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
No.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes. The motion carries 4-1. Thank you. And we'll move on to public hearing item 8B, the consideration of variance case number 16-001 and view shed review case number 16-001. This is an item that has been recommended that we continue to date certain of July 5th to ensure proper notification in accordance with the department policy regarding on-site posting. Did you want to say anything? Okay.
Unless you have questions.
I thought you were leaning in.
can I ask a question on this one?
Sure.
Did this go through, and I didn't see anything where the any comments from the fire department on this, that side yard setback puts that pretty close to that apartment complex.
Commissioner Fowler Payne, since we might be motioning to continue it, I'd rather wait until the whole public, if anyone wishes to come, is here to hear those answers. Would that be okay?
That's fine. I just wanted to know if the fire department had given their approval on it.
Yeah, I would agree with Chair George. Project-specific questions, I would defer to the next Planning Commission meeting. If you have general questions on the continuance, I would be happy to answer those.
That's fine.
Then I'll move that we continue item 8B to date certain of July 5th, 2016.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries 5-0. And we have no non-public hearing items tonight, but the city has been very busy, and we have quite a few of administrative items that have been approved. six to be exact. Did the commissioners have any questions on any of these items?
One of them hadn't been approved.
One
was denied and five were approved.
Oh, sorry. One was denied and five were approved. Do we have any questions on any of these items?
No.
No? Okay. We'll move on to commission communications. Did the commissioners wish to communicate anything tonight? No?
I have nothing. Yeah.
Okay. I don't either. And staff communications, did staff have anything they wish to communicate to the commission?
Commissioner Mack asked at the last meeting if we had any update on the Bridge Street Bridge project. We are still reviewing some of the final environmental documents before we deem that process complete. I know that we had said maybe the end of May we'd have another public meeting. That's looking a little bit further into summer.
I was kind of hoping you'd introduce the new staff member to all of us.
I'd be happy to do that as well. So sitting to my left is our new planning technician, Sam Anderson. Sam's been with us for the last year in the intern capacity and was successful in our recruitment for the planning technician position. So it's my pleasure to welcome Sam to the group.
Welcome, Mr. Anderson. You did a fantastic job this evening.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to comment as well. You did a terrific job for your first time.
Okay. And that would end tonight's meeting. Okay, I motion we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.